This is St. Pete X, affectionately known as SPX. SPX brings you St. Pete's brightest business people, civic leaders, and citizens who share their insight and expertise as well as their love of our great city. SPX is presented by the St. Petersburg Group. Head to stpete.co to check out more episodes, and by St. Pete's most effective marketing agency, Big C. Browse to bigc.co to see their work. Now enjoy the conversation. Hi, this is Joe Hamilton, and today I'm sitting down with the president of the Tampa Bay Rays, Brian Auld. This episode of SPX is a little bit different than previous ones in that the interview was originally recorded on video for a project that Big C and the St. Petersburg Group were doing for the new Economic Development Corporation here in St. Pete. This means a couple of things. First, the audio has a bit more echo to it than previous podcasts that were recorded in our studio. And secondly, we reference a few things in the conversation that aren't properly set up. When you hear me talk about the site, that actually refers to the new St. Pete Economic Development Corporation site, which can be found at stpeteedc.com. As I mentioned, this was originally recorded on video, and if you have an interest in watching that instead of listening to the conversation, you can go to stpetex.com to the show notes page for this episode, and the video will be there. I hope you enjoyed this fun conversation with Brian Auld, president of the Tampa Bay Rays. Thanks for sitting down. Are we good?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I was excited. So why aren't you packing up all your stuff and leaving St. Pete tomorrow? Why are you here?
Oh, man. I love living here. I can't think of many better places to live. For me personally, it's just a great place to raise my family. You know, great homes, relatively affordable area, terrific community. Everything's accessible. Everything's simple. Weather's phenomenal. That enough for you?
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. I think St. Pete's just terrific. It's also, for my tastes, it's a perfect size city. It's there's enough going on that there's always plenty to do, but not so much that you get lost in the mix. It's the kind of place that you can have a real impact, make a real difference if you want to, but that there's always something new to catch your eye to.
Yeah, that's one of the themes we actually put forth on the website. We have three or four headlines, and one of them is make an impact. And it seems like we're still at a size and in a landscape where a good idea can sort of catch fire and grow.
Definitely, we're not fully baked, and so we see every day that different people, different groups of people, are coming in and changing the flavor of the city just a little bit for the better. And this is the kind of community that welcomes that, which is wonderful.
So, as you mentioned, we're not fully baked. Where do you kind of feel like we're headed? Where do you see St. Pete in 10 years?
Oh, man, I don't know for sure. I know I like the direction. I know what's driving it. I think there's a really progressive thought process behind where we're going, a very welcoming, a very inclusive environment. And I think that makes us unique in Florida. I think we're attracting the kinds of people who that resonates with from all over the state and maybe from all over the Southeast. And that, I think, is really cool, because what you've got is a lot of open-minded, creative, forward thinkers who aren't bound by the way things are supposed to be. And we see that every day. You know, there's a new brewery opening up, it seems like every quarter mile, and it's just people who don't want to hear that there's too many breweries. They like making beer, they're going to make some beer, they're going to figure it out, and that kind of thing just keeps happening all over this place. And I think it's every day something new and cool happens that makes this city a little bit better.
Yeah, we had, as I mentioned, Mike from the founded Three Daughters came in earlier, and he actually says he feels like there's a lot of headspace still left for breweries. He said there's really about 7 right now, and he sees there being 12 within a year, which is, you know, 40% increase, and plenty of room to support them all.
Yeah, and I think you see, you know, look, I'm not a professional urban planner by any means, but I think when you see people with energy choosing to live in a place and figuring out what they're going to do there, which I think is what's happening now. I think people want to live in St. Pete. They want to be near the downtown. They want to be near this core, this energy. And then they're asking themselves, all right, well, what do I want to do? Here's where I'm going to be. What do I want to do? And it's manifesting itself in cool restaurants and really neat stuff that's primarily probably service sector related at the moment, but I think is going to attract even more people, even more bigger business. And it sets just a great launching pad. What we've seen happen in this city over the last 10 years is truly remarkable. And it's been, I think, largely organic. You know, it's happening in a really natural way. And I dig it.
So what's your experience with the kids? What's your experience with the education system? Are you my kids are in Montessori, which we love. We've been there since they were three.
We live in the old Northeast and are sending our daughter to kindergarten next year. And my wife and a bunch of folks from our neighborhood have all sort of committed to sending their kids to the public school because we think that simply by getting involved, we're going to be able to make it a lot better school. It's a school that over the years has lost a lot of attendance and for no good reason that I can think of. And so I think that we're at least going to try to put our energy where our mouths are, and put our kids in the school and show up and recruit others to support it as well. And we think it's going to be just a great spot, great neighborhood school that is an easy drop-off and an easy pickup and kind of fits with the vision I always had of my kids kind of walking themselves to and from school as soon as they're old enough.
That's brilliant. That's really great to hear.
I hope it works. I mean, I think it speaks to, again, this new energy. You've got a lot of people who, if they wanted to, could be sending their kids to private schools or opting into some of these fundamental schools, but have said, hey, what the public school is good enough for us, for sure, and we can make it even better, and let's get involved.
One of the things we talked about as far as the expansion of St. Pete goes earlier today was how there can be sort of dead spots in development where, you know, 4th Street kind of developed, started, you know, around 38th Ave and started moving down and kind of stalled around 9th Ave North and Central started moving out. They're finally just starting to squeeze out the gap and putting some, you know, as far as safety just appeal, visual appeal of the and new businesses are going up there. And it's easy to see that when it's just real estate, right? Connecting two areas and then all of a sudden with that contiguous corridor, things blow up. I think can almost make that same sort of connection to education as well, because I feel like there are some really sharp places, pools of education, but there are some places, and some of them are the public schools, that kind of get left behind a little bit on that. And so I think that closing the gaps by making the effort to support the public schools, as far as the population goes, is pretty important.
Yeah, I do too. I think the two things, if I could wave a magic wand and prove overnight, would be transportation and education. And I think there's been a lot of talk around them and not enough action. And so I hope that those things get moving. We'll see. It seems like we're starting to see progress on both fronts. What I'll tell you is I think there's a lot of committed people who get this. You know, you got people moving in who have no interest in owning a car. And so you got to give them a way to get around. And they'll pay for that. You know, there's economics that make sense for it. And then when you want to continue to attract young dynamic professionals, you got to be able to educate their children well. And I think we're starting to see progress there too. Like so many areas, there's this balance between providing choice in education and trying to get people to go within their communities. And there are socioeconomic and racial issues that permeate throughout. So it's certainly not an easy fix. But I serve on enough committees locally to know that we've got a lot of really thoughtful people thinking about these things the right way. And again, I think that's being driven by a progressive thought process that's dedicated to inclusiveness of all.
What do you tell me some of the things that you love about St. Pete, as far as some of the things you like to do. So what are you taking the family to do? Where do you like to be?
I've grown up here over the last 10 years. So I loved it as a single person. I loved living downtown. And now I like it with young kids, and I hope one day to like it as an old person with kids out of the house. And I think we see all those stripes moving into the area right now, whichever stage of life you're in. If you're a retiree, what better place to be able to walk to dinner and engage in all these activities? And I think the youthful energy that we have in St. Pete now is an enticement as opposed to a problem for those folks. And then with the young people, there's more bars than there have ever been. There's more other people your age trying to do interesting things. You see people out and about, you know, sharing ideas and trying to figure out what they can do to make a buck, to move the city forward, to address some of our problems. I mean, it's a really thoughtful populace that we have right now, and an engaged populace. You know, I laugh a little bit at the number of people writing letters to the editor and showing up at city council meetings and things, but it's evidence of a healthy society that where people think their opinions matter. And so that's all really great. My what I love about St. Pete is I can wake up on Sunday morning and pretty much do just about anything I want, whether with the kids or without. You know, there's so many parks, so many great places to go, so many terrific restaurants, so much you can do on the water, so many places you can walk to. All of that just makes for a really kind of robust, full experience for me. And that, you know, it's a quick commute for me to work and give me plenty of time to do all those things is pretty great too.
Brilliant. Let's talk about the pier for a little bit. So there, obviously we're just breaking ground on the new one or in the process of putting that up. But design has been approved.
Yeah. And you want to talk about an involved populace. Everybody's yes. got an opinion on that pier.
That's right. And, you know, so money aside, you know, you could argue whether the value is there or not. I don't think there's too many folks that don't think there's some value to having a pier there. And what does the pier represent for you? As you know, what's its place in St. Pete's past and its place in St. Pete's future?
It's been the most visible point on the water right there. And that is the jewel of St. Petersburg. That's the piece that the city's founders or forefathers or foregrandmothers, whoever it was that decided, we're going to keep this land, we're going to make it parkland, we're not going to make thoroughfares here, we're not going to put buildings right up against the water, we're not going to let people buy homes that go right up against this water, we're going to preserve this where the city is public space, just nailed it. Because you walk around down there, and I mean, it is one of the most beautiful pieces of the planet. I think about it all the time when I'm walking along that shoreway. This is the line on the map by the water, and it's unbelievably special, and it's accessible to everybody. And the pier's been that visible symbol of that brilliant decision-making, that environmentally friendly forethought that went into kind of the design of this city. It's why we're not struggling to attract residents to downtown, where we can barely keep up with it. And other cities are really struggling. It's because they don't have that unbelievable sort of beautiful scenery. So I'm personally almost always in favor of big public projects. I think they provide benefit to a whole slew of people. I think they promote tourism. They give you something to talk about and to share. When we talk about building a new Rays ballpark, we always talk about doing something iconic. And putting something iconic down there on that waterfront, I think, just lends even more esteem to this great city. So I'd love to see that done. I'm strongly in favor of it. And I think, you know, anything that draws more attention to that little jewel, not just in Florida and Tampa Bay, but kind of on the planet, mm-hmm. is well worth it. That said, you know, I sympathize with anyone who says tax dollars should go here, there, or anywhere. You know, every teacher and police officer should make more money, and nobody wants to pay more taxes. So these are problems for people who have to win votes.
Outside of what the government can provide, that's not civic. That would come in from a private source, whether it be an investor, an entrepreneur. What do you think St. Pete could use? Is there something that stuck out in your mind that? If someone came into St. Pete and sort of did this, this would be cool, or more of what something we have now that's not done enough. Anything jump out at you?
I mean, most of what I'm talking about are great things to do on your leisure time. What we lack, I think, is really high value jobs, and we need to bring those in. You need people who are going to spend their money at the restaurants and buying the craft beers and kind of keeping the whole economic engine going. And I think I would love to see a really big headquarters, hopefully organically grow here, where we're making something that the entire world is using and that really helps us put our stamp on the map. One of my favorite cities is Seattle. And way back in the day, Boeing really put Seattle on the map and started employing a lot of people in this high service area. And then it wasn't long before Microsoft and Amazon and Starbucks kicked in. And those four companies have revolutionized that entire city. I feel like St. Petersburg is ripe for something like that. And those four companies also have had a very strong and thoughtful say in the way Seattle has grown. And I think that, you know, we do lack a little bit of that here. We have a lot of great companies, don't get me wrong, and a lot of headquarters and a lot of great business leaders who are helping to direct all this, but someone who's really employing, you know, thousands of people and producing something that, you know, you can point to as being used throughout the world, I think would be really neat to have.
That's one of the things we're going to talk about on the site is the trajectory that we're on and how it's pretty clear that we're moving in an upward, the hockey stick. We're someplace on the hockey stick. And so there's still great value here to be able to come in.
You guys are a perfect example. Like, we have these services that are ready to serve these behemoth companies.
Yep.
We just need a few more of them to keep everybody fed.
Yeah, yeah.
Or eating even better. we're not
eating at one of our great farm-to-table local restaurants. That's
exactly right.
Anybody you've seen doing something interesting in Tampa Bay that you think deserves a few more eyeballs on it? I'm sure you get a lot of stuff come across your desk, something that you'd like to give a little attention to, either private, but nonprofit.
You know, we've been making a ton of progress, I think, in the startup space. And originally I thought it was going to be a lot more difficult than it's been. You see real entrepreneurs coming here and finding the support resources that they need. Whether through the Innovation District here or Tampa Bay Wave, that is promoting these companies that are really making some inroads and making some pretty cool products and kind of spreading a tech vibe throughout, which is, you know, not inconsistent with what we've seen in a place like Austin, which is another city that I like to compare St. Pete to. So I think that's all really neat. I mentioned I think the beer and restaurant scene is, again, phenomenal. And I think it can be easily dismissed, but I think that would be a mistake because I think that type of activity leads to the larger growth that I spoke of. I think it creates a baseline that makes your city really attractive to others, whether they're coming with whole companies or they're just bringing what they have to offer to your city. You end up benefiting from that. Outside of the tech space, the John Hopkins development and the fact that we're becoming a real hotbed of medical research is tremendous. Only going to benefit all of us too. You know, it doesn't hurt to have world-class hospitals in your backyard. So I think that's pretty great. I think that the current administration, Mayor Kreisman and his people have been, I know we don't want to get too political here, but have been steering this organic growth in a really wonderful way, demonstrating a welcomeness and a willingness to cooperate with anybody on anything. And I suspect that attitude would continue regardless of who's the mayor. But, you know, when you come to St. Pete and you have an idea, I think you get a lot more attention than you would in some other cities. And that speaks to the size issue too. You know, as the guy who runs the baseball team, where we are maybe among the smaller markets in all of Major League Baseball, if not the smallest. And one of the benefits of that is everybody cares a lot. And we have the ear of the city. We have the ear of the city council, the business community. We're all kind of in it together, working cooperatively. And so I think that spirit that's, again, only been growing as St. Pete has grown is going to be a key factor going forward.
All right, can we maybe we'll switch gears a little bit. I want to talk some general baseball stuff, if that's all right.
Sure.
So just a couple of topics I thought would be cool to put some content out around. So I'd like to start with baseball memorabilia. Uh-huh. So kind of assimilate to think about that. So, I grew up collecting. A lot of kids grew up collecting. There's, you know, a big movement into, you know, game used things and hitting the market now. And I think the Rays actually incorporated that into the gift shops now, right? Autographs.
A lot of game used stuff and autographed memorabilia, yep.
So what's your, you know, can as much as you can think of on short notice, talk about the place that memorabilia and baseball card collecting, game used equipment collecting plays in the sport and how has it changed in how the teams themselves have delved in there? Because it wasn't many years ago, they didn't have that sort of thing at the gift shops. It was just hats and jerseys. And now they've moved kind of into that arena.
Well, across the board, sports have become really big business. And that's happened in our lifetimes. The 30, 40 years ago, you know, sports teams were literally just small family businesses, usually passed from generation to generation. Oftentimes your former favorite player was, you know, the general manager running the team and so-and-so was the manager. And We certainly weren't doing all these analytics to try to figure out how to win baseball games, and we weren't putting sophisticated pricing software together to figure out how to charge for tickets. As the game's grown and become more competitive, every dollar counts that much more. And you're talking about big multi-million dollar businesses now that are run by, you know, people who have gone to business school and have real experience training in the business world. And so they look for ways to monetize things. And certainly the game used memorabilia has become a huge piece of that. Autographs have gotten to the point where they, you know, I actually think we're on a little bit of a decline right now because players have gotten so upset seeing the stuff they sign show up on eBay constantly, right, as opposed to, you know, signing for a kid. And you've got folks who send, you know, buy 10 kids tickets to the game, send them down there to get stuff and collect it and sell it on the back end. And it leaves people with a bad taste in their mouth. So it's changed. It's changed a lot. And I think the biggest thing is that it's become really big business. And when really big business comes along, things change. The college sports world is dealing with all that right now, too. I grew up with baseball cards and worshiped them and had huge collections. I don't know where they are right now. I know that the world has become more digital, and so most of the kids these days who are keeping up with baseball are doing so on their cell phones, that the industry has created a bunch of equivalent to baseball card kind of products. Although you can't flip them and throw them and put them in your bike spokes and do all the things that I remember being super cool back in the day. So I just think it's kind of a natural evolution and that we will continue to see things evolve going forward.
And how about riffing off the digital space? So where now has revenue started to creep up in the digital space that it wasn't, say, 3 to 5 years ago?
Major League Baseball, as an industry, has done a great job monetizing the digital space through MLB.com. Taking a fee on all the tickets that it sells across the league, and then they kind of use the revenue from that to build Major League Baseball Advanced Media, which is an incredibly robust video platform. And because we had a bunch of really bright people who saw where the world was going up there, and at the same time, we're saddled with an enormous challenge at the time, which was to air, 3 hours of live programming in 30 different markets every single night. They got really good at streaming before a lot of other people did, and have since kind of taken on additional projects, including being the backbone of HBO, for example. And so the digital infrastructure that baseball's laid out has become an important part of all of our businesses. We are not yet, making a ton of money off of our Twitter posts or our Facebook followings or anything like that. We use those more as marketing tools to connect with our fans and make the relationship with them a little more personal. But I think all of that is good in the long run. We want people to feel very close to our product, to feel like they're part of the Rays family, which they are, and to kind of keep them entertained all day long with whatever little bursts of news we can send their way.
Cool. And how much is fantasy baseball on your radar? I know for the NFL, it's been pretty large for them. And do you feel like baseball is catching up? And any thoughts on fantasy baseball?
Baseball's been growing steadily. Baseball was the first fantasy sport, rotisserie baseball. And I remember playing that back in the day. It's certainly a lot easier now with the internet. The baseball season and the football season are so different. One is a slog, 162 days. It's with you every single night. I think very few people watch every single minute of every single game. Right. It just sort of stays with you throughout the summer, gives you something to tune into constantly, and it's like a long story. And so whereas football you can gear up for on a particular day, you get your fantasy team out, you check on it, you want to see your stats, it's a little more interactive. So I think it's different strokes for different folks, really. The promotion of the fantasy baseball game is something Major League Baseball and the Rays are certainly very interested in seeing happen because it makes the sport a little stickier. I suspect we'll see some evolutions over the years. I think you'll see different ways. The daily fantasy sites, for example, were really trying to change the game for a while there. And we will see where it all lands. But there's no question that people like having a little juice on the outcomes of what they're watching anyway. And the world seems to be becoming more and more okay with that. And we'll see how it all falls out.
Thank you.
you've made it to the end of another great episode. For show notes, head to stpete.co to the show notes page, which includes links to all the resources mentioned in the show, as well as quotes and key insights from the show and information about the guest and the host. Thanks again to our sponsor, Big C. Head to Big C, that's BIGSEA.co to check out their work. And if you like what you heard, make sure to share this episode on social media and leave a comment. See you next time.